This is Daniela from STEM Champ. You're listening to KBOO Portland.
New year, new KBOO. Thank you to everyone who contributed and supported KBOO during our Catalog of Connections year-end campaign. With help from our community, we were able to reach our $75,000 goal, and we'll be able to continue bringing you grassroots, independent community radio. If you didn't get a chance to contribute, you can still support KBOO by becoming a member today. Go to kboo.fm/give. Join the team.
Hello, and welcome to Boom Goddess Radio. I am Jennifer Davis Page, your host. Today I have the pleasure of introducing to you the Senior Development Manager of Community and Communication Events for Youth on Their Own, Brittany Smith. Welcome, Brittany, to Boom Goddess Radio.
Hi, Jennifer. Thanks for having me.
Youth on Their Own is a dropout prevention program that supports the high school graduation and continued success of youth experiencing homelessness in Pima County. Brittany, when was, we're going to call it, YOTO. When was YOTO founded?
YOTO was founded in 1986 at Amphi High School, one of the high schools in Tucson, by Ann Young, who was a counselor at Amphi at the time and had been for many years. She noticed that there were some youth, particularly girls at that time, that she knew of that weren't staying with their parents, that were sleeping on someone else's couch and had some instability at home and were really struggling at home, and it was affecting their ability to concentrate on school.
Why did Anne know it was necessary for this kind of organization to get founded? Tell me the story of that.
She knew of some youth, particularly at Amphi, that were having some instability in their home life for a variety of reasons, but they weren't with their parents. Mm-hmm. And were staying with friends or wherever they could even. And so she started it, and it started just at Amphi High School, and it has since expanded to over 100 schools across Pima County.
How many students were involved when she started Youth on Their Own?
In the really early days, it was only five or six. In the very beginning, one of the first things they did was they actually got a house, and they were able to they had a house mom, and they let the girls stay there. And then after a little bit of that, they realized that wasn't really a good solution because they could only serve a few students at a time. And there was a lot of liabilities with it, and it really couldn't have as great of an impact as they were hoping, I think. So then they started a program where they do find people that were willing to be host families. Mm-hmm. And so these kids in high school were set up with somewhere to stay with these host families. But then eventually that also became a little bit of a burden on some of those folks because of the expenses that came along with it. So that really led to kind of changing it again to have what we call our stipend program, where it started out, it was that the families were paid to have the extra expense of having these teens in their home. And after a while, we realized if we just pay the youth themselves, mm-hmm. they know enough about their lives and the things they need that they can spend the money wisely and get what they need. So that is still a thing that we have going on today with our academic stipend program. So one of the big things that we do is we actually pay youth to attend high school. We know that a lot of them are might be considering dropping out because they need money to pay for their expenses. So if we incentivize them to stay in school by allowing them to earn that money by just going to school, then that can alleviate some of their problems and really help them stick with it to get that diploma.
Starting at the beginning, were the students interviewed and if so, were there any students that just said, no, I don't want to be involved in this program? Did you have to really convince any students, or tell me how that worked?
I'm not too sure on the specifics of how that worked in the early days, because I do know that Anne herself had really good relationships with some of those students, being their guidance counselor. But we do see a barrier sometimes with youth because we use the term experiencing homelessness, and some youth don't consider themselves homeless because if they have somewhere to stay, even if it's not a permanent long-term solution, they just don't see that being their situation. And they also, I think there's some shame and embarrassment sometimes, depending on what the situation is. That can be somewhat of a barrier to them enrolling. But once they learn more about the program, hear from other classmates or from their guidance counselors at school, a lot of times those barriers can be broken down and they end up joining the program.
So do you have a session with students that are in the program and with students that are thinking about being in the program? Do you have that kind of conversation with that group?
So we have every school that we work with has what we call our YODO liaison. And so that is a person that works at the school who is a volunteer for us. So they are usually the school guidance counselor, social worker, something like that. And we also have our staff, who are our school's program coordinators, who are often out at schools talking to youth that are already in the program. They do sometimes do kind of info sessions for youth that might qualify so that they can ask more questions. But a lot of times those YODO liaisons, who's, like I said, the guidance counselor that student already has a relationship with, already knows, they can ask them those questions directly. And they kind of help us get the word out. But youth just tell each other too. A lot of times that's how they find out about us. You know, I've heard from different youth that say, oh yeah, my boyfriend's sister knew about YODO and told me that I should look into it. So it happens a lot that way, kind of more informally rather than kind of structured info sessions.
Your YODO representative, are those all volunteer positions?
Yeah, so like I said, it's usually it's a staff member at that high school, but it's a volunteer role for us. So they're kind of taking on a little bit of extra work at the school by working directly with us.
Are there any students that are just refused to join the program that you maybe have to, well, that's a question. Are there any students that just refuse to join the program, or do they then talk to their fellow students that are in the program to get further information and be encouraged to join the program?
Yeah, I think a lot of times once they find out more about what it is, I haven't really heard of any students that choose not to participate if they're eligible, because it's pretty straightforward. There's an application that they fill out, but that's really the biggest hurdle is the application. And if they already have been talking to their liaison at the high school, that process usually goes fairly smoothly.
How many men and young men and women are part of the program today?
It's a little bit over 1,600 right now. Last year it was 1,500. And so we're pacing a little bit ahead of where we were last year.
And tell me, Are they from freshman to senior, or do you have them a little older, like juniors and seniors?
So they can start as young as middle school. So we do have some 12 and 13 year olds in the program. A lot of times they're going to be younger siblings of an older student that is taking care of them. And we go all the way up to age 24, because if a youth graduates high school while in our program, they can still qualify for some things in our alumni side. So then that's a little bit less population than what the high school numbers are. There's more youth in the high school side. And mostly they're 17 and 18 and 19. That's kind of like the biggest chunk of age-wise.
When you talked about host homes originally, do you still use host homes?
No, that's not something that we do now. So a lot of our youth are able to find somewhere to stay, they already have a situation before they apply with us. So sometimes it's an extended family member who's not their legal guardian who says you can sleep here, but you have to contribute to the household. You have to pay, the water bill or something like that. And then other times it's friends, family friends, different. It's a wide variety of situations. But
now, once a student comes to you and they say, "I'm going to go live with my cousin and pay the water bill," do you screen that household to make sure that those are good and decent people? They don't have any criminal backgrounds. Do you screen those homes before the kids go in, or do
we rely on that? That's not, we report anything we hear about to DCS. But no, we don't do any kind of home visits, or screenings of their home lives, anything like that.
What does the YOTA program provide? What do they provide overall?
So we do three main things. The first is the academic stipend that I already mentioned. So youth can qualify for up to $350 a month, based on their attendance and based on their need. And then the second thing that we provide is basic need items. So we know we're giving them this money, but we don't want them to have to spend it on things like shampoo and conditioner and pens and pencils for school. So we provide pantry food items, school supplies, hygiene products, some household things, and bigger things like bikes and laptops and cell phones and stuff like that. And then the last thing that we do is really just provide guidance and support to connect them to other resources around town, things that we might not provide, and help them navigate systems that typically a parent would. I've heard stories of different youth that, they need to get their birth certificate so they can get a driver's license, and they don't know how to do that. So we help them with stuff like that.
All right. And how do students really qualify for the program? I mean, when they come to you originally, they found out about the program from friends. What's their next step? Do they come to the office? Tell me the next step to that.
So there's an online application that they can just fill out their side of the application online, and then it goes to their school. So, because one of the big things is they have to be enrolled in school to qualify, because our goal is that they graduate high school, so they have to be going to school. So the application has the part that they fill out, and then when they tell us what school they go to, then we send it to the liaison at that school, who then fills out the school portion of it, and tells us a little bit more about what they know about that youth.
And then is there an interview after that?
Yeah, so our program coordinators would then follow up with some additional questions if need be, and sometimes they do have more of an interview, but sometimes it's just, especially if it's a re-enrollment, if we already know from last year, it's an easy process. So
You are listening to Boom Goddess Radio. I am Jennifer Davis Page, your host. Our guest today is the Senior Development Manager of Community and Communications Events for Youth on Their Own, Brittany Smith. Brittany, tell me, are alternative lifestyle youth eligible for the YODA program?
We try to be as inclusive as possible. So any youth is eligible for our program. A lot of times, a significant portion of our youth, 1 in 4 youth is LGBTQ+.
Okay.
That's a, you know, a big chunk of the participants in our program.
Now, to maintain eligibility in the program, do you have to have, I know you have to stay in high school. Do you have to have good grades? Do you have to maintain good grades, or you just have to
to be going.
Okay.
They can still be going and not earn an academic stipend. So maybe they missed too many days in the last month to qualify for the stipend, but we'll just try to encourage them to go more so they can get the stipend the following month. But yeah, they just need to be attending high school to be in the program.
All right. Now, as volunteers, I know everybody would like to volunteer for these wonderful programs that we have in the community. But if you're a person that's volunteering and you're a tutor or a mentor, can you take a youth shopping or out to dinner, or how does that work?
So we actually don't do any tutoring or mentoring. A lot of times we'll refer other folks to other organizations that do that. That's not a volunteer role we have. Our volunteer roles are more of, one of the ways that youth get the items from our mini mall is through an online portal. So they can place orders online. So we have volunteers who work in our stock rooms to package orders, get them all ready to go out. We also have volunteers once a week who deliver those items to schools because we know that transportation can be a large barrier for youth getting to us to get the stuff that they need. So we take it out to them directly to their school.
What are the main categories for volunteer opportunities with you?
So a lot of it really does revolve around our mini mall. So it is the order fulfillment. We have what we call our caring couriers, who are those people that deliver things out to the schools. We also have volunteers in our donation center, because we have a lot of community organizations and individuals that like to shop for us and host drives and bring things to our mini mall. So we need folks to get those items in and sort them and get them into our inventory system.
Let's talk about your mini mall. Tell our listeners who might want to donate to the mini mall, what kinds of items do you take? Gently used items, or do they have to all be brand new?
We prefer brand new items, and we take things like shelf stable pantry items for like food stuff. So things that don't require a lot of cooking and preparation are pretty big with our youth. So cereal, mac and cheese, ramen, just snacks. Mm-hmm. And then we prefer full-size hygiene items. Mm-hmm. So things like shampoo, conditioner, body wash, deodorant, toothpaste, toothbrush. And then we have backpacks and notebooks, the pens, pencils, any kind of school supplies.
And I hear you didn't say anything about clothing. So now
clothing? We do underwear and plain white and black t-shirts, but okay. It's just kind of hard for us. We don't have a ton of space for clothing. Mm-hmm. And also a lot of times folks want to give us clothing that might not be, you know, in style, and our youth wouldn't take it anyway. And there's a lot of sizing and stuff to keep up with. So we just don't do that.
Where's the mall located, and how often do students visit?
Yeah, so we actually moved in November of last year. So we are now located at 2525 North Country Club. Mm-hmm. And our youth can come see us anytime, 11 to 5, Monday through Friday. And they typically will come about once a week if they do come to us. A lot of them don't come to us because we do have the deliveries directly to the schools.
All right. And so if someone wants to donate, do they donate at that same address and those same hours of the day?
The same address, but our donation center is open 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. So a little bit earlier opening. And folks can just look for the signs for the donation center, go around to the back of the building, and ring the doorbell back there.
All right. I read about the Assistance League of Tucson. I saw it on your website, and they said that they accept you. Tell me about that. What did I read?
Yeah,
something
so
wrong?
we do work with them. They used to be kind of right across the street from us at our old location, but then we moved, so we're a little bit farther away from them now. They're over on Alvernon. But they do, they have a thrift store. So a lot of times if folks try to give stuff to us that we don't want, we'll send them over there. And they actually supply us with starting over supply kits. So if, say, a youth in our program gets their first apartment and they need stuff for that, the Assistance League provides a laundry basket with a sheet set, a towel set, a pillow, some pots and pans, cups, plates, like just the basics of what someone would need. So we get those kits from them, which is really great, because then we don't have to worry about buying those items or getting those items elsewhere.
Okay, so they donate them complimentary to you then, right?
Yes.
All right. Can you donate by ordering online and sending items directly to the mini mall? Can you do
yes.
that?
So we have an Amazon wish list, and that's available on our website. There's a link. Okay. So folks can just buy stuff on Amazon and have it shipped directly to us there.
All right. So we've got the kinds of items that you need are food, dry items. We're not going to have any lettuce and tomatoes. We're going to have just canned goods and boxed goods, hygiene items, and linens. Let's talk a little bit about pets. I know that so many people have their dogs and their cats. Do you accept students in your program and they have a pup or kitten that they want to bring along? How does that work?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times we don't even know whether they have one because they don't usually bring them to us. But yeah, quite a few of our youth, I think, do have pets. So that's one of the things we supply in the mini mall. We work with Cody's Friends, which is a local organization that donates pet food to other, other places. So we get it directly from them. And we have cat and dog food available to youth.
And do you have that available? Can that be donated to the mini mall and they just go there and pick it up?
It can be donated, but we do already have the relationship with Cody's Friends that we can get it from too. So,
all right. Tell me a little bit about Cody's Friends. I'm not clear on that.
Yeah. So Cody's Friends is a local Tucson organization that was started, I think it was a school project that this boy named Cody decided, and his mom has continued it on. But they collect, they have dog and cat food, and then other organizations get it from them. And that's how we get it.
Do you help the kids find work?
Yeah, we'll share opportunities for job fairs. We do talk to each youth as they're graduating about what their plans are post high school, and we will connect them to trade school opportunities or talk to them about college and community college to help them figure it out what it is what they want to do and connect them to all those other resources.
Tell me this, we've talked about YOTA, we've talked about the program. Is there anything that I have not asked that you would like to share with our community, to our listeners in the community?
We are an Arizona charitable tax credit qualifying organization, and that's a way that folks can support us that they just make a gift to us, and then they can get a credit right back on their Arizona state taxes.
Tell me, and our listeners about you. Tell us about Brittany Smith. Tell me why you decided that you were going to apply for a job with Yotto. Tell me your background.
So I am originally from Michigan, and had moved here only about 18 months before I applied for the job at Yotto. But I was looking for a new opportunity. I had experience with fundraising and events, and so this job was open, and I learned more about the program and what Yotto has done for the community, and it really resonated with me. I really feel strongly about the mission, and it's been a really great place to work.
How long have you been with them?
A little over 2 years.
And tell me, how large is your staff, and talk a little bit about your board.
Yeah, we have, I think it's about 35 staff currently, and that's our direct service staff, and then also admin, fundraising, everybody. And our board, we have a really awesome board, including representation on our board of former Yotto youth. So we have, I think currently it's 3 Yotto alums, maybe 4 now, on our board. So we really are conscious about including the voices of youth in that way. We also have 2 staff members who are former Yotto youth themselves as well.
Oh, that's wonderful. I didn't expect that you would have a Yotto alum on your board, but that is excellent. That's such a great idea. I'm sure they can bring lots of great ideas and suggestions to your board. Mm-hmm. Brittany, I want to thank you for sharing the great story with our listeners. It's a wonderful program, and I wish you all the best. I understand that you're also have your hat in the ring for 100 Women Who Care.
We actually received it. We were one of the first a couple years ago, I think it was during COVID that we received it, but we'll be participating, I think it's next week, for the 1 million give celebration, because they're going to hit that mark next week.
That's wonderful. I want to thank you again very much for joining us. Please, I'd like to continue to thank my listeners for their support. Please visit us on boomgoddessradio.com. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, Boom Goddess Radio. We can also be heard now on Spotify, iHeart, Amazon, and CastBox. And remember, love, kindness, and respect is never wasted. The only thing that is wasted is a day without a smile. I will see you on the radio next week, and this is Jennifer signing off.
cat, meow, meow. You're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM Community Radio.
This is Sea Change Radio, covering the shift to sustainability. I'm Alex Wise.